Tonight's shiur is Parshas Behar. Sedra begins. Vedaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Limor. Daber b'nei Yisrael amar talem ki tavo al haaretz asher ani notzein lachem. V'shavsa haaretz Shabbas Lashem. Of course, the first mitzvah in the Parsha is that of Shemitah. And we have the strange introduction of Hashem speaking Behar Sinai. So Rashi's famous words, Ma inyan Shemitah etzal har Sinai. Why Dafka words, Mitzvah Shemitah over here is Har Sinai mentioned? Hashem gave all the mitzvahs at Har Sinai. I love Dafka Shemitah. So why Dafka? We don't see by Tefillin, by Mezuzah, that Hashem says he spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai. Dafka by Shemitah. So Rashi said what he says. The Chazam Sofer, it's a nice idea. He says the reason why Shemitah is mentioned by Har Sinai is because it's Dafka the Mitzvah Shemitah where it's clear that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was the one that gave the Torah at Har Sinai. The Torah is from Sinai. In other words, and it's not Chas V'Shalom, something that is man-made, man-written, like Moshe Rabbeinu. No, it's clear it comes from God. How do we know that? Dafka the Mitzvah Shemitah. How so? We see in the Sedra that the person might ask, V'chisomru, ma'ano chal b'shana shme'is? The person asks, what are we going to eat? And we're not planting, leaving the land fallow a whole year, a whole source of parnasa is not. What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? So, what's the answer? The answer is, don't worry. Hashem said, "Don't worry, I'll give you extra produce on the sixth year, so you'll have for the year that you're not planting and harvesting." Says the Chabzul Sofer, who can promise such a thing? Who can promise, can any human being come out and say, don't plant and leave your everything fallow 1 year, but don't worry, the year before you're going to have extra produce to cover for it. No human being could possibly make such a promise. So it's obvious, the fact that there is such a promise, that it's some power that can promise such a thing and do it. And who's that? A Kodesh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Dafka, it's the mitzvah Shemitah, that shows us, that tells us, that proof is a proof that the Torah is from Sinai. The Mele, Mainyan Shemitah, Etzel Har Sinai, Dafka Shemitah, the Shemitah teaches us, that it's obvious that the Torah is from Har Sinai, we see through the Mitzvah Shemitah, and so too, if Shemitah is from Har Sinai, so too all the other Mitzvahs as well. Mention the Pasuk base, it says, Kisavo El Ha'aretz Asher Ani Nosein Lachem. Say for Turei Zav, he goes, what's this extra words? When you come into the land that I'm giving to you, Asher Ani Nosein Lachem, Mishavtaretz, etc. Of course, the land, what other land? No, the land, so obviously the land we're going into, Eretz Yisrael, is the land that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. So the word seems to be extra, these Asher Ani Nosein Lachem. So a very interesting idea. First he brings another pasuk in the Torah, we also find a similar lashon, and also extra words. Parshas Vayishlach, when Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Yaakov Aminu, and he adds his name, Yisrael, over there, and he says to Yaakov, Es'aretz asher nasati l'Avraham l'Yitzchak, l'cha et neno l'zor charech, the land that I gave to Avraham and Yitzchak, I'm giving it to you and your seed after you, eten et ha'aretz. Get, what is it? Atenet Ha'aretz. I'm giving the land. He already said, Ha'aretz asher ani nasati le'etnena, I'm going to give it to you and your seed. And then he adds, Atenet Ha'aretz. What's this? I'm going to give the land. What are you saying again? I'm going to give the land. What's it? So, once again, the Tori Zavi says that there's a difference between Yerusha and Matana. What is that? Yerusha, when somebody inherits something, Minatora, the little father dies, and whatever he owns goes to his children, Yerusha. Now, Yerusha is automatic. Yerusha, there's no strings attached. It doesn't matter, the kid's a good kid, he's a bad kid, whatever it is, there's certain laws who it goes to, and that's it. Yerusha goes automatic. Matana, somebody's giving somebody something to somebody else, that does depend, right? You don't just, it doesn't automatic. You give to whom you want to give to, and you can make conditions. I'll give this to you only on the condition that you do X, Y, and Z, or whatever. It's you can make conditions. I was thinking maybe that's the word matana. What's the word? The word matana has the word tanai in there. Masna, even if you're masna, is spelled the same way. Mem taf nun hey, to masna, to make a condition. So in a matana, you can make conditions in a matana. It's, I'm giving it, I can set the rules. So Mela Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying over here that Eretz Yisrael, on the one hand, it's a type of the Yerushas Haaretz, but there's a Satsheni, on the other hand, Shem is also, he's giving the land. And he's pointing out that I'm giving. So since I'm giving the land, so it can come with conditions. And it does come with conditions, as we see in this week's Sedra, right? Ki Saval Ta'aretz, we ask, what is this Asher Ani Nosein Lechem? Hashem is pointing out, you're going into land, but just remember, it's not just the Yerusha, I'm also giving it to you. Asher Ani Nosein Lechem, I'm giving. Giving means it comes with conditions. What's the conditions? As the Pasuk continues, V'shav Saharet Shabbas Lashem, that you have to keep Shemitah. And what happens, as I say later on, if you don't keep the Shemitah? The Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us out into Galus. So it's under condition. I'm giving you the land, but since it's a matana, I'm giving, comes with condition. Condition is you keep Shemitah, Bishavsa. And if you don't, you get kicked out. That's the Lashon of Eten, and that's the what Hashem was hinting to Yaakov Avinu as well. Eten et aretz. I'm giving the land, but it's on condition. Pasuk Parakafe Yodalid. The pasuk says, "V'chi simkaru mimkar la misecha, o kanu miyale misecha al tonu ish esachiv." We have the iser of ona'a, that you're not allowed to cheat your fellow yid. So the classic ona'a is if you overcharge. Right, the limit is 1/6, right? Less than a sixth person is moichol, and more than a sixth, it's a mekach, taos mekach batal, whole thing's cancelled, you have to give the money back, the thing back. That's ona'a. So he asked, what's the lashon v'chim simkaru mimkar lamisecha? Shem just said, v'chim karu, when you sell, lamitecha, to your friend. What's this mimkar? So Torizav says that, what happens, let's say we say, you're not allowed to overcharge more than a sixth in the market value, right? Fine. What would be, let's say you have a, for argument's sake, I don't know, a silver Kiddush Becher. Kiddush cup, okay? However, this Kiddush cup is an family heirloom. It's been handed down from generation to generation. It belonged to one of the Gedolei Ador, I don't know, five generations ago, and in your family, it's been handed down or whatever. And this is a, let me say, it's like priceless, okay? And somebody wants to buy this from you, because he knows, you know, this is belong to a God of the door or whatever, and he wants to buy it from you. And you say, no, I'm not interested in selling, whatever. And he says, no, I'll give you $100,000 for it. $100,000? Okay. And you sell it to him $100,000. Okay, now, the same Kiddush cup, it's just a silver Kiddush cup. You know, you go to the store, it's not going to cost you $100,000. It'll cost you maybe $100, okay? But what? It's got, what we call sentimental value. You know, it's an heirloom, whatever, handed down. But the actual cup itself, a silver cup, you go to the store, you pay $100 for. Right? But because of what's behind it, so it's worth $100,000. So let's say you sell it to this guy for $100,000. Is that called ona'a? Is that called that you're cheating him? Since you can go to the store and get this for $100? No. Because there's more to it than just the actual metal of the cup that you can go to the store and buy. Sometimes there's a sentimental value that goes along with it. Therefore, that's not called ona'a. Meili says that's what the Torah is telling us over here. V'chisim karu mimkar lamisech al tanu ishlechim. When is it considered ona'a? When is it considered cheating? That's dafka if it's a mimkar. If it's a regular thing that you buy in the shuk. Yeah, then you can't overcharge the person. But something that has sentimental value, that's a different story. That it's not called, you know, overcharging when you're charging a lot for something which has a special value. We mentioned the pasuk before that v'chisomru manochal. Person asks manochal b'shanashvi. So are we going to eat? So the mitzvah shmitah is dafka. The Chazal say it's made for a gibore kos, a tremendous, tremendous nisayon. Especially in the earlier days when they you know, people lived, agriculture was everything. That was their livelihood. They lived, they mamish ate with what they planted. And to tell a person that's it, a whole year, no parnasa, you're not planted with it. So it's a very hard nisayon. Kosh Baruch Hu, you know, we said before, you know, gives, but you have to, you know, trust, and it's a big nisayon. So Saba Navardak says that we see here we're asking of this person to basically live, like ask something to do supernatural. Because how can you tell a person? You can tell a person, fine, don't go to work for a week, a month, a whole year. What am I going to do? So Hashem says, yeah, this is what I want you to do. So a person's asked to go to act like supernatural. Says a Saba Mivardak, what do we see from here? That you can't say that the Torah is acts of bitachon, of trust, only for tzaddikim. Because who is the mitzvah shmita for? Tzaddikim? Everybody. And I'm a farmer, right? They're funds that feel the most. You're an everyday farmer, everyday simple yid. He's asked to act like a tzaddik, to have bitachon like a tzaddik, you know, the biggest tzaddik, that whole year, no parnasna, don't worry. Right? But that's what we see, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, oh, you can do it. You're a Pashto Yid. There's no such thing as a Pashto Yid. Every Yid has the potential to be a Tzadik Ador when it comes to Bitachon. So we see from this mitzvah. Which reminded me of the Vort, mentioned it in the other day in Shir, that Darchei Musar says, that on the one hand, we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he says in the Gemara, explains why is it that a Gazlan that steals something pays back what he stole. What he stole, the amount that he stole, he pays back. Whereas a Ganav has to pay back double. Kefa. Right, so what's the difference? A Gazlan steals straight out in the daylight or whatever. A Ganav sneaks in. Sneaks in at night. So says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, why is a Ganav paid double? Because he fears man more than he fears God. Right? He's sneaking in. Why is he sneaking in at night? Because he doesn't want anybody to see him. What do you mean he doesn't want anybody? But God sees you. Right? That's why we're punishing him, because for his lack of Yirah Shemayim. You know, he's scared of man, but he's not scared of God. So as a result, he has to pay back double. Fine. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said. So Darchei Musar, we see a peladeka thing. Why? The same Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when his Talmidim came to visit him, and they said, Rebbe, give us a bracha. So he says, okay, I'll give you a nice bracha, he told his Talmidim. He said, your fear of God should be as great as your fear of man. So they said, Rebbe, Yad Khan, that's it? That's the bracha? Right? That we should fear God as much as we feel our fear of fellow man? What kind of a bracha is that? So he says, oh, halavai! He answered them. He says, halavai! He says, I'll prove it to you. When a person wants to do an aveira, what does he do? He looks around. Is anybody looking? What do you mean, anybody looking? Hashem's looking at you. What do we see? That a person fears man more than God. So my bracha is that you should fear God, therefore, at least as much as you fear man. So Darchei Musar says, Reb Naiman says, what a pellet. It's hard to understand why. Because we see from here, who were the Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Were they schleppers? No, these were great Gedolim. Gedole Olam. The Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right? And they had to get a special bracha that they should fear God like they fear man. So how could this simpleton, this Ganav, lowlife, right, be punished because he didn't fear God like he fears man? Right, Shtuah Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't fear God like they feared man. So how can you blame this poor Ganav? We're saying the Ganav is punished because he didn't fear God like man. The Talmidim couldn't. These Gedolim couldn't. So we see from here that in Achanami, there's no such thing as a Pashut Yid. Ah, he's a Ganav. Ah, you wonder what he expect? No, if he's a Yid, there's no such thing. Ganav, he's a low life. He's expected to be just as great or greater than a Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's the same as we see by Shemitah. Simple farmer, he has to have the same bitachon like a Tzadik Ador. The pasuk says, "Parak kafei pasuk lamed hey v'chiyamuch achicha umati yado imach timcha v'chzachta bo." Talks about a yid, he's loses his money and he needs your help. So it says v'chzachta bo, you should support him. So the it's interesting diuk in the words in Hebrew when you say to grab on, you know, to support somebody. So you would say, you don't say v'chzachta bo. You would say vechzakta oso, him, right? You support him vechzakta oso, right? Not vechzakta bo. What's the pshat vechzakta bo? So they say that. What's the difference? Says if you're supporting something, then you would say vechzakta oso. He supported it, this thing or him, right? But if you grab onto something, Let's say you're about to fall and you grab onto a tree, right? So then, since you're not supporting the tree is supporting you. You're grabbing the tree, but the tree is what's supporting you, right, from falling. So then you would say that the tree is machzik bo, him. So comes out, he's a beautiful deal. That when it says here in the pasuk by the ani vechzakta bo, why does it say vechzakta also? Because vechzakta also means that you're supporting him. But Chazal tell us that more that the asher does for the ani does for the asher. So really, it's the ani that's supporting the asher. Mele, it's vechzakta bo because he's supporting you. It's like you're grabbing onto something and it's supporting you. When you're supporting that ani, he's really supporting you. Mele, that's vechzakta bo. So the ma'isa with the Mayor Shapiro Lublin used to say that during the First World War, there were a lot of refugees that came into his city, a lot of Yidden, and they needed didn't have anything, you know. So the heads of the Kehillah made a meeting in the shul, and they got up and they said, "We have to help these poor refugees have come into our city, and they don't have anything, don't have a pillow to put their head down on. So first things first, I'm asking everybody donate some pillows for these poor Bernie." So what happens? 2 weeks go by, hardly got any pillows. So he says, "That's it. We have to make a new meeting." He calls in everybody again into the shul. Says, "Raboisai, it's terrible." He's screaming at the people, "What is going on over here? All these poor people, they don't have a pillow to put their head down on, and nobody's donating pillows. What's going on?" Well, so there's a Talmud Chacham over there, and he says, "I don't understand. What are you screaming about? What are you screaming about?" He said, "I had a bunch of pillows in my house, and I gave them all. I donated all of them. All I kept was this tiny little pillow, you know, and that's it for myself. But I gave all my pillows. What is he screaming about?" So this wealthy man turns to him and says, "Yeah, big deal." He says, "Well, how much do you sleep at night anyways? Right? You're learning day and night. You sleep a couple hours at night. So for you, it's fine, a little pillow." "Way I sleep, because of the amount of hours, and I can save myself a little pillow. I need pillows." There was once a rich miser that one day was davening in his house, in his living room, whatever, you know, fancy living room, rug. And he was davening. So he was holding by Baruch Shamar. And all of a sudden, this ani walks in to the house, and with his galoshes and his mud on his feet, and he's stomping into the living room, and on his fine white Persian rug, he was getting it all dirty. So the usher, you know, looks at him, and he starts screaming at him, "Look at you, look at you, you messed up my beautiful rug, and chutzpah," starts screaming at this poor ani. So the ani answers back and says, "You know, you're saying Baruch Shamar?" He says, "Fine. And right now, so far, you're Mekayim Baruch Merachem Ala Aretz. You're Merachem on the Aretz. Now it's time to Mekayim Baruch Merachem Ala Brios. Have Rachmanes on Brios also." Okay, having this Sedra, also the Isser of Ribbis, taking interest. Al Tikach Meito Neshech V'Sarbiz V'Yareis Elohech. He's a famous Maisa with the ear of Posen. There was once a wealthy man who was, he made his parnasa lending money with interest. And he was nifter. And the family came to the Chevra Kadisha to arrange a plot, you know, in the cemetery. So they approached the Chevra Kadisha and they asked an exorbitant amount of money for a plot. Right? They said thousands of dollars with him. So they said, "What? It's ridiculous. We never heard of such a thing. You don't usually charge so much for a plot." He said, "That's it. Final decision. You give us the money, we bury him, not. He said, "That's crazy." Didn't want to give it. So they said, "Okay, we're taking it to the higher officials." So they contacted the government or whatever, and they complained that the Jewish burial people, they're taking this tremendous amount of money for this grave, and it's not right. So the prince, at the time, the Goyish prince, said, "Oh, it's true, it's a terrible thing, so let me get down to the bottom of this." So he says, "I want to speak to the rabbi." So who's the rabbi of Posen? Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So he calls in Rabbi Akiva Eiger and he says, "What's going on with you people? Your Chevra Kedisha charging a tremendous amount of money for this plot. How can you do such a?" So Rabbi Akiva said, "Let me explain to you, Prince." He said, "You have to understand something. We Jewish people believe that there's something called Tchiyat HaMetim, which is resurrection of the dead. That eventually, hopefully soon, there'll be a time of resurrection, and everybody, all the Jews, come out of their graves." Okay? So he says, "That's why we don't charge so much for graves. Why? Because it's only temporary. How long you're in for a few years, that's it. The Tchiyas Amazing is going to come and all out, so they return the grave. What do you need the grave for so long?" He says, "But somebody who lends the ribbis, Chazal say, he's not zoicher for Tchiyas Amazing. As a result, he's going to be in the grave, lenetzach netzachim, going to be here forever. So as a result, you have to charge more. He's there forever, so we can charge a little bit. The average person charge a little bit. But this guy, this rich guy who lent money with an interest, is going to be there forever. So he's not going to come out of the grave. We have to charge a lot for it. It's a long time in there." He accepted that argument. Magi Midubno was once in a shul, and he hears some yid davening. A tremendous dveikus. He starts crying, but he says something very strange. He was saying Elokai Neshama, right? Elokai Neshama shat be tahare tavrata mechula. And then he says the words Vata asid li tlamimeni, right? You're going to take away in the future my neshama. And then he says Ulachazira bi lasid lavo. And in the future you're going to return it to me. And he starts bawling, starts crying. So the Bagi Midumek approaches him. He says, "I don't understand something. Right? Why did you cry when you said that? Because when you mentioned Quinn's Hashem is going to return your neshama, if you're going to cry, at least cry with the first part that Atasidli Lami Men, you're going to take it away. Not when he's returning it. Why are you crying when he said, 'And in the future I'm going to return my neshama'?" She says, "Rebbe, very simple." He says, "I'm a rich man. I make my money off of lending money with interest, and Roch Hashem doing well. But I have these kids that are really bad, rotten kids to the core. And, I was thinking, I was worried, because what's going to be? He says, eventually my time's going to come. I'm going to die. And all my wealth is going to go to my kids, which I'm sure they're going to squander, and it's goodbye all the money. And then, when I come back to life, so after Tchiyas Amesim, all my money's going to be gone, because my kids are squandered it all. So that's why I cried when I said that Hashem is going to return my neshama. He says, 'Oh, Hashem, what's going to be when I return my neshama? I'm going to come back to life. I'm not going to have anything. My darn lousy kids are going to get rid of everything.'" So the Magen Duvna says, "No, don't worry. Nothing to worry about." Like we said before, says, with kids like that, and you're lending money at ribbis, you're worried about coming back to life and what's going to be with your money? You're not coming back so fast. There's an interesting Ben Ishchai, also on this topic. So the Gemara in the Shabbos, Daf Peites in the base, says that in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to Avraham Avinu, and says, he's going to say to him, "Banecha chatuli, your sons, the Yidden, they sinned. So what do you suggest?" So Avraham's going to answer, says the Gemara, "Wipe them out. That's it. Wipe them out. Then they sinned. Yimchu al kedusha shemecha." Says, "Wipe them out." So Hashem says, "Okay, he's not helping out the situation too much." So he went to Yaakov Aminu. Same thing. "Yaakov, your sin, your son sinned. Chatul." What did Yaakov say? The same thing. "They sinned, so wipe them out. They sinned, they don't deserve to be around." Didn't work. Went to Yitzhak Aminu. Says, "Yitzhak Aminu, your son sinned. What should be done?" So Yitzhak's different story. He says, "They sinned. What, my sons? Banecha, you're just telling me that my sons sin? And then what, they're not your sons? Your son's also Hashem, first of all. Second of all," Yitzhak says to Hashem, "fine. Now let's they sin. Let's look at things, practically. That's sin. How long's the person live for, average? Let's say 70 years, average lifespan. Okay, 70 years. The first 20 years, out of the cheshbon, because out of Hashem there's money shemaim up to 20. So that's out of the cheshbon. So what are we left with?" Yitzhak says, 50 years. Now, out of 50 years, person's not awake and sinning for 50 years. Person sleeps. half the time, erech, out. So, some people more, unfortunately, but let's say half the time out. So we're left with 25 years. Okay, 25 years, then a person could potentially, but even there it says Yitzchak Avinu, a person can sin for 25 years. No, why? A person has to eat, has to drink, has to use the bathroom, has to daven, right? So he's busy with other things also. He's not sinning the whole time. So let's say, knock that into half also. So we're down to 12 and a half years. So come on, putting things in the right perspective, out of 70 years, we're down to 12 and a half years of sin, out of 70. He says, I'll tell you what, Hashem, split 50-50. Okay? 12 and a half, you take half, and I take half. And if not, Yitzchak says, everything on me. I'll take the whole thing on my cheshbon of the, you know, the 12 and a half years. That's the Gemara over there in the Shabbos. It says to Ben Ishchai, this you know, defense of Yitzchak, you know, the defense of the Yidden, applies to most Yidden, but not to somebody who lends viribis with interest. Why? Because somebody who lends with viribis, he's sinning 24/7. Why? Because his money's working for him, right? When he gives money on interest, interest keeps compounding without him doing anything. It's working day and night. His money's working for him nonstop. So therefore, you can't make this judgment. Well, half the time he's you know, sleeping, because even when he's sleeping, his money's working for him. On Shabbos, his money's working for him. When he's davening, when he's eating, well, his money's constantly working, making interest on him. Memele, such a person is in a very rough shape. Because he doesn't have the defense of Yitzchak Avinu of these times when he's not sinning, because such a person is constantly sinning. Someone who's Malbi of Ribbis, why such a serious Avinu? So one little last maisa. There was another Yid, unfortunately, was Osek in lending money with Ribbis. And the Rav of the town wanted to, you know, help change him, you know, stop him, influence him. But people tried to make him stop, but it didn't work. So the Rav was thinking what to do. So he had an idea. He said that there was somebody who was nifter in the community, and the Rav had to get a hespit. So this wealthy man was there at the hespit, happened to be standing right there in the front row. So the Rav thought, golden opportunity to give this guy some mussar, you know, maybe he'll learn his lesson. So the Rav starts giving a whole big mussar shmooze, directed basically, you know, it was Levi at this hespit, but directed to this rich guy. And he's saying, you know, this person died, he had money or whatever, but what good is his money? You can't take it with you, his gold and silver, whatever he had, can't take it with you, and what does he take with him? Only his mitzvahs, and Maisim Tovim, and he's going on and on and on, you know, in this vein. And, you know, looking at the whole time at this Malava Beribis. So there he can see Melish on the face of this thing, like it made an impression. And by the end of the drasha, the hesped, he saw that this guy was even starting to shed tears. Okay, he said, "Oh, the Rav said, oh, you know, Baruch Hashem, maybe, breakthrough." So they went. They went to the basic forest, whatever. And on the way back, he walked with this rich guy, and he turned to the Rav. He says, "Rabbi, I got to tell you something. That drasha, that, you know, hesped you gave, was one of the best I've ever heard." The Rav's like, "Oh, oh, great, wonderful, yeah, go on." He says, only one thing, Rabbi, you know, it was a real pity, though, that you weren't a little bit clearer, though. If you would have made yourself a little bit clearer." So Rabbi says, what do you mean? He says, "Because, yeah, okay, I hear what you said, but I can just see it. Tomorrow, same story as every day. This person's going to say, oh, how come you're charging me this much interest, a little bit more, half a percent more, half a percent less, and they're going to handle with me like they do every day. Why don't the people realize, like you said, money's not everything? Who needs money?" It's Hashem, we should be zoicha, as we said, to live up to the expectations that we saw in the Torah, the Mitzvah Shemitah, where he expects us to act like tzaddikim, is what Hashem, we can and should do so, and we should all be zoicha to tchias ameisim, bevias gol tzedek, mimhirav yamein.